Numbers chapter 20 and verse 17. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through the fields or vineyards, nor will we drink from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. We're going to use this with our verse to build our lesson around this morning. It's so good to see everyone out. We have many of our number that are missing. We have visitors that are with us. We pray that you will be blessed for being here this morning. If you have any questions about what we do or what we don't do, feel free to ask us. And after service, please hang around a couple minutes just so we can meet you and get to know you a little bit. So, as I said, I'm using Numbers 20, 17, and the King's Highway. We have talked about the King's Highway when we went through our class on Bible history and geography, and you see it running along through Palestine. The text that I just read was when Moses was coming out from Egypt, going to enter into the Promised Land, and Edom wouldn't let them go on the King's Highway. The King's Highway was one of the major routes that ran north and south through Palestine. And basically, whoever controlled that highway controlled who could go on it, who could not, what they would charge them to go on it. So I'm using that. And I normally don't do a sermon like this, but I like to have a variety of sermons. So this is what I thought I would do this week, talking about road signs on the King's Highway. We see signs everywhere. They are all along the roads. Do we stop and look at them? Do we pay attention to them? Going way, way back when Carol and I got married, and we went to Cincinnati for our honeymoon, and then we were going to drive along the river, southern Ohio, go down into Kentucky. We were just married. I had a little red Mustang. We were talking about everything under the sun, driving, driving, driving. I thought, boy, this road is really smooth. It's like there's no bumps on it at all. Kept driving, talking, and I thought, wow, there's no traffic on this road. Then we came to a sign like this, end of road. We had gotten on a road that wasn't open to drive on, and we had missed all the signs before that. And we were just driving along thinking this was a great road. It wasn't a road to nowhere. It just wasn't finished. My point is there are signs everywhere. Signs everywhere. We are accustomed to them. God has put so many road signs in this map that he has given us that we need to look at them. So we'll start with look. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. When we talk about looking, we're talking about seeing something. Sometimes we hear somebody say, I looked right at that and didn't see what I was supposed to see. Looking implies special contemplation. It's not just what do you see? You walk out in the yard and what do you see? It is looking with thinking about what you're seeing, contemplating. What are we contemplating as we travel this road here in our life? Another sign we see is be not deceived. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What does it mean to deceive? It means to cheat, beguile, that which gives a false impression, whether by appearance, statement, or influence. So it's not just someone telling a lie. We can be deceived in so many ways. And someone giving us an impression of something by the appearance. We read about in the King James Version, lust of deceit. That means lust excited by deceit. There's fleshly lust that we think this is going to be the satisfaction I'm looking for, and it's deceitful. It's deceitful. The lust excited by deceit, of which deceit is the source of strength, not lust. We read about vain deceit. That suggests that deceit is void of anything profitable. Satan is the great deceiver. And when we think about Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, "Let no one deceive you with empty words," we know also that he met with the elders at Ephesus and warned them that false teachers would come about from among themselves, leading people astray. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." One of the things that Satan is deceitful about, we say, "Oh yeah, I know that." But then he'll tell us, "You know, that applies to everybody except you. Everybody else is going to be corrupted, but you aren't." And we think we can get away with our sin. Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Sometimes we think, "I got away with that. Nobody knows about it. Nobody's going to catch me doing this." Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." We can't hide anything from God. "Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And when we think about God's law of sowing and reaping, just remember, whatever we plant, that seed that we plant, we are going to reap a harvest so much larger than what we planted. And so it is with the things that we plant in our life. Whatever we plant, we're going to reap so much larger. And when do we reap that? Do we reap that as soon as we sow the seed? No. It's in a different season. And we think we've gotten away with it. Do not be deceived. Well, we also see the sign of resist. James 4:7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Sometimes we try to do both. We say, "God, I come to you, I submit to you, I give you my life," but then we don't resist the devil. We want to submit to God and walk along holding our hand with the devil. We can't do that. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." What does it mean to resist? To stand against, to withstand, to oppose, to stand firm against. Satan is our enemy. He's going to come after us over and over and over. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, and I've heard people say they talk about the three temptations of Jesus. That's three that were recorded. But when you finish reading that, it says that Satan left for a season. See, Christ was tempted in all manner of sin like we are, over and over and over. And sometimes Satan may come after us and we resist him and we think, "I've got that under control," but he keeps coming back. And when we think about this word picture of him being a roaring lion, your adversary, and that's a legal term, like in court where he's out against us, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. You see someone just walking back and forth, you don't think anything is wrong. But he's just waiting for the moment. He's just waiting for the moment when he can get us. Walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And If we do not want to be devoured by Satan, we've got to arm ourselves with the Word. We've got to have God's Word written on our heart. That's the only thing that's going to save us from the devil. And people will say, yeah, I read my Bible every so often. I open it and look at something, or I listen to some podcast. Friends, we've got to have it right up here. And that's how Satan, or how Jesus dealt with temptation when Satan came after him. Jesus didn't work some miracle. He replied with the Word of God. We have to know it well enough to use it. When you see, and if you've ever been in a zoo and heard a lion roar, that roar goes right through your chest. You see why the lion is called the king of the jungle. And if you ever see the shows with a lion out in the jungle going after some animal, and he'll roar and start, all the animals will start running. And you want to know, I can tell you every time the one he's going to get, it's going to be the weak one. Satan is going to get the weak one. And friends, we have got to arm ourselves. We've got to resist the devil. We've got to make sure that we are not the weak one. Well, another one of the road signs we have is to be sober. Now, does this mean we shouldn't drink alcohol? Well, we should not drink alcohol, but this is not what sober is meaning here. Sober means to be able to discern between right and wrong. It means to have a clear head, clarity of mind, so that we can think, so that we are not deceived. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And writing to the Thessalonians, he said, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet and hope of salvation. So being sober-minded, the ability to discern between right and wrong, of sound mind. And when we are sober-minded, we're going to make the right choice. We're going to exercise self-control. To cause to be of sound mind, to recall to one's senses. Again, if we wait till we are in the middle of a battle, it's too late. Where does the battle take place? It's not in the gambling casino. It's not in the bar. It's not down at the men's club. The battle takes place in our mind. And we've got to win the battle in our mind. And then those other places are not going to be a temptation. But if we think, well, I can go in here and go there and I can go to all of these places and they aren't going to affect me, friends, we are not being sober-minded. We are warned over and over with these road signs on the King's Highway to be sober-minded. And you see, I have a bad habit of turning the TV on and listening to it, and then I turn it off and don't want to listen to it, and then I turn it on later, because you'll hear people say, this, and then, well, this was proven to be false, and back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, whatever the issue is, but it's people have lost being sober-minded and questioning things with whatever it is. But we're traveling on the King's Highway, not in Palestine, but in our life. And I've never been through this world before. I've never been through it. And the older I get, the more I wish that I had paid attention to some of those signs earlier. And I don't know what's around the next bend, what's around the next curve, but I know that God's Word will direct me. beware. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Luke 12:15, he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So beware, again, it's related to look, to see. It's applied to mental vision. We can see with our eyes, but we have that mental vision. Do we understand what we are seeing? It's a way of warning. Sometimes we might say somebody might be involved in something, or they might get in a relationship that they shouldn't be involved in, and we say, can't you see what you're doing? Can't you see where this leads? Don't you know if you start this and this looks innocent, the next time you're going to do this and this and this? Beware. Beware. We've got to have our eyes open. Beware of false prophets. Oh, this isn't a false prophet. I've known this brother my whole life. He's the nicest guy, the most loving person. He'd do anything for you. Well, will he tell you the truth? Will he tell you the truth when you need to hear it? Will he tell you the truth from God's word? Beware of false prophets. They look like an innocent sheep, but we see that they are a wolf that wants to eat us alive. Take heed to covetousness. Beware of covetousness. This is a big challenge in our society. It has been for generations. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Sometimes it's interesting just observing when people meet. And a lot of times with guys, one of the first questions will be, so where do you work? What's your job? They want to identify a person as this. Where do you live? Oh, you live in that neighborhood. I live in this neighborhood. Then they want to justify where they are, but let you know, we're not staying here. We're going to get more. We're going to get a bigger house. We're going to get more money. It's covetousness. And covetousness, that's idolatry. We're worshiping money instead of God. We need to beware. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to slow down sometimes. Slow down and just look and see what's out there. This caution sign, slow down, dusty road. Again, I have a lot of relatives that live in Tennessee, and you go down on some of those roads and you got to drive so slow, because on those old gravel roads, you go any speed at all and you look in the rearview mirror and all you see is dust. All you can see. Sometimes we just need to slow down. Sometimes that's hard to do. We want to go faster and faster. You want to get a faster phone, faster computer. I think of when computers came out and the old dial-up, and you'd have to wait and hear all these funny sounds, and kids today wouldn't have the patience for any of that. They haven't learned to slow down. And you miss so much of life when you're going so fast. And then whatever speed you're going at, that doesn't satisfy you. You want to go faster and faster and faster. And then before you know it, your life's over. It's gone. We need to abstain. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's a lot of things we just need to say, hands off. Instead of, well, I can get involved in this to this extent. Maybe something work, and maybe something that's innocent of itself, that's not wrong in itself. But again, it's opening the door to something else. Sometimes we just need to learn to say no. And here he's talking about fleshly lust. That's a definite no. Fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Road closed, local traffic only. We see these all the time. And sometimes in the road of life, sometimes we create the closed road. Sometimes by what we're doing, we stop and we can't go any further here because of something that we have done. Sometimes it may be a situation, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work my way up the ladder here. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And then what happens? You lose your job. The road is closed. That road you were planning on going down, it's closed. But God may have a better road for you to travel. We need to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary walks about as a roaring lion. We've looked at this one. We need to make that so important in our lives. Warning signs, Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is Paul writing to the elders at Ephesus. Paul wasn't just a studious person. He cared about people. He cared about the church. He cared about every individual. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And Paul, in one of the places where he talks about all the calamities he went through in life, and he said, on top of this, the cares of the church. But again, this is pointing out here, talking about false teachers coming in Acts 20. In Colossians 1:28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Sometimes we don't even think about telling anybody about God or Jesus or what he's done for us, or sharing the gospel with them. Him we preach, warning every man. Paul, remember, he felt that burden on his heart. And back in Romans 1, he said he was a debtor to preach the gospel. He was ready to preach the gospel, and he was not ashamed to preach the gospel. To who? To every man. Why? Because every man needs the gospel. Those three were from Romans chapter 1. You get to Romans chapter 10, and he says, and the sad thing is, they did not all obey the gospel. But again, it's not on us whether or not someone obeys the gospel. It's on us to share God's word with them. Here, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Matthew 17:5. It's no surprise. A lot of people don't want to hear Jesus today. They want to hear their favorite preacher, whoever they see on TV, whoever's written the latest book. Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. We're to hear God. Be careful. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm to you constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, you may be like that one sign that I showed that was just full of signs, and you're saying, Bruce, I'm seeing so many signs, I can't remember any of them. There are signs all along the way, and we need to stop and pay attention. Matthew 5:21. You've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22, danger of the council. Verse 22, danger of hell fire. People don't think there's any danger in dying. Friends, if we aren't right to God, there's danger. Watch, therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He's coming back. The judgment is waiting. We need to take heed at what he has told us to do and how to live. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest we fall. We need to slow down. We need to look at these road signs that God has set for us every day. Romans 6:13. We looked at this in class this morning. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We don't yield and give in to Satan. We yield and we serve God. Be not. Someone has said, the Bible is full of be's and be nots. And you stop and think about that. That's a true statement. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be, here we have a be not and a be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, and ready to give, willing to share. Friends, do you know what's around the curve ahead? None of us know. One of those earlier signs, it had, there were like three big yellow signs with an arrow pointing this way going around the curve. There's one of those where we live, that we have three of those signs in the front of our property as you're going down the hill, and there's a curve. One night we were coming home and the road was closed and we had to go around and come up. Someone took that curve too fast and they went airborne and over a fence and were down in the woods right down from our house. They weren't paying attention to the sign. We say, how could they do that? Well, they weren't paying attention. They weren't taking heed. They were not beware. They were not looking. How could they get themselves into that mess? You see, we can see it in somebody else, but we can't see it in our own life. And we may not be in a big mess, but how much of life have we missed because we haven't paid attention to the road signs on the King's Highway. They're all right here. He's got them spelled out. Friends, he's told us what to do to live here on this earth. He's given us a map of how we can live our life here so that we can live for him, with him, for time without end in heaven if we are obedient to him. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.